All right, looks like we are now live. So we are here tonight with Outlaw Paranormal. We got Gina, Raven, and Outlaw Jimmy. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hello.
So I normally ask when we have our guests a question that kind of lets you get out there a little bit so who's viewing can actually get to know you a little bit more. So we can start with Gina and work our way to Jimmy. And just basically the same question is, what got you interested and started in the paranormal?
Oh, I have always been into the spooky things, you know, ever since I was a little girl. You know, I was the one at slumber parties with a Ouija board going, you know, let's talk to dead people. And so I've always been into that kind of thing. And then I guess when I was about 20 or so, I saw my first shadow figure, the Hat Man, which I didn't know actually had a name until just a couple years ago. But that right there was what really, you know, kind of set it off, and started investigating a few, you know, I guess it's been about 8 or 9 years ago now. And it's just, I'm hooked.
That's pretty cool. Raven?
I just wanted an explanation for everything that I'd experienced that people in my family weren't experiencing. So I've been experiencing paranormal stuff since I was really little. I don't know any other way to be. I just, it's not what everyone else experienced, though. Just looking for answers.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Jimmy?
All right. I started out, I was raised kind of in a undenomination church where they went and cast out demons and different things like that. And I've always been one of the real sensitive one, been able to see and feel and talk stuff. And when I got a chance to do paranormal, I took the chance to do it. And then we growed into this team that we got now, and we just keep on growing and growing.
Yeah, it's a good team. You know, it's good to have different experiences too. So, you would be more of the sensitive or clairvoyant, Jimmy, or?
Well, Raven, she's very sensitive too. And when we brought Raven on the team, it's just like me and her both can see and feel stuff. And like, we went to Bobby Mackey's, and we was talking before we even went to Bobby Mackey's about the way the place looked like on the inside and what we thought we was going to experiment and stuff. But I've always been able to walk in people's house and tell people what happened and this and that in their house.
Cool. So what's one of the better places that you've actually been to do an investigation? Now, don't everybody talk at once.
Commercial wise or residential?
It could be either or. It's just, you know, the one that you had the best experience at, or the one that you liked the best, or because I know that everybody has something different.
I can't really answer that because, I mean, I got the Shrine, I got Old South Pittsburgh, Old College Hill. There's so many good spots and different things that we get at different locations. So, I mean, it's kind of hard just to name one.
Yeah.
I can get that.
Yeah, we've had some pretty neat residential places, too, that have been extremely active. And I enjoy those places when you can find them because it's – nobody's been in there, you know. It's not like they've got a new group in every weekend. But as far as commercial wise, Trans-Allegheny's always one of my favorites. We did that one in Old South Pittsburgh. You can't beat them.
Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. I hear stuff about Trans Allegheny. I've just never been there. I've been kind of stuck here in Wisconsin.
It's awesome. It's huge and it's gorgeous.
Yes, and if you ain't looked up the shrine, need to look up the shrine because it's a very unbelievable place. And the owner of the caretaker, he does an amazing job taking care of the place itself.
The shrine. That's what it's called?
Yes.
The Where's Yura that? Shrine. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Raven.
The Yura Shrine.
Yura Shrine. Okay.
It's private.
Okay. I was going to say, where is it located? But,
it's in Bristol, Tennessee, but it is a private shrine and a private residence. And so it's privately maintained and it's pretty much by, invitation only in there. But it's incredibly active and extremely different from, I guess, anything we've ever done.
So out doing the investigations and stuff, what's the, I guess, the one of the strangest things you've ever came across?
Well, probably for the team all together, we was at this land not too far from my property. And that was four of us that night. We heard a woman screaming. All four of us heard the woman screaming in different directions. And she was screaming for help. So whatever it was trying to separate the team and pull us all apart, pull us one way and pull us another way. So, and I stopped. I was like, no, we all got to stay together. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is trying to pull us apart.
Smart. I have to tell the story on Jimmy. Trans Allegheny. Raven and I and a couple other ladies were in one room where there's a little girl spirit, and we were doing the Estes method, if you guys are familiar. And Raven, we had a spirit box going. Raven had on headphones, and as she was sitting in the corner with her hands over her ears, and we were communicating, and there was a not a very nice male entity that would not let Lily, the little girl, talk, and he was using foul language, and it was awesome communication. And we told him, you need to leave. This is Lily's room. We're going to have one of the nurses or orderly come in and take you out. And so when Jimmy came in the room, I was like, hey, we're doing the Estes method. There is a man in here that won't let Lily speak. He's using bad language, and he won't leave. Jimmy looks over in the corner at Raven and does not see Raven.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He sees a man, and so he starts yelling at Raven, and he's like, hey, you need to leave. And she's got her headphones on, and she looks up, makes eye contact with him, and has no idea what he's going to, then puts her head back down. And I'm like, Jimmy, this is Estes method. And he was really totally confused and was trying to get this guy out and was ready to throw Raven over his shoulder and carry her out. And he said, I'm going to go back down and get the ladies that were there, kind of our security for the night. And by the time I caught up with him, he was telling him that there was some homeless person down there in the room and he wouldn't leave. And I was like, what are you talking about? And so I said, he's dead, Jimmy, he's dead. And so bloody thought we were both crazy at that point.
looks like the spirit said that Raven had to go.
But it must be
Jimmy, you got your way. No.
Yeah. Well, that night when I looked down at Raven, I wasn't looking at Raven. I was actually looking at a man's technique. And I don't know if the spirit that was coming through the spirit box and that was talking to us transform into Raven or what it was, because it was freaking me out. Because like Gina said, I was fixing to throw her over my shoulder and take her out to the parking lot. But
from my perspective, I really had no idea what was going on. I was just listening, repeating words, and all of a sudden I look up and I see Jimmy, and I saw him see me. I saw recognition on his face. Like, he knew that I was there, but he was angry at me. I couldn't figure out why he was mad. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just going to listen to this again. But I started to wonder, like, I could see his feet, because I wasn't really looking at anything because my head was down. I could see his feet stomping angrily. I was like, why is he so angry? I was just really confused.
Do what?
It sounds like the entity actually put itself between you and Raven and only revealed itself to you.
Yes. And that's what I was thinking it was. It was showing me through Raven.
Sorry. Possibly trying to get a reaction out of you and have some sort of interaction between the two of you for its own amusement as well.
The ladies up there said that wasn't the first time that happened either.
Interesting.
But that is the first time it happened to me.
There's a first time for everything.
Oh, yes, there is always a first time for everything.
Because when you go in these old haunted buildings and places, a lot of places, you're there real late at night, you're in there by yourself. I mean, yeah, you got a few people sitting maybe way over on the other side in the office. And you don't know who's going to break in and try to come in.
Right.
So, I thought it was somebody that broke in the building that was sitting there wanting to leave at the time.
That's got to be, that has just got to be strange and just mess with your mind a little bit.
Yes.
You're saying the living is scarier than the dead?
Well, it was a living in the dead. So
I'd actually have to believe that. I would prefer talking to the dead people than the living, because a lot of the living are too crazy for me right now.
Yes. Yes.
But so being down by Tennessee there, do you guys ever get a chance to go over to any of the battlefields, like over in Gettysburg or anything like that? I know that's a little ways away from where you're at in Tennessee. I'm just, you know.
Well, we got some local battlefields around here, like where the Virginia Morgan Inn was, or is right now. And so, I mean, we got some local fields that they've actually done fighting around this area, too.
Gettysburg is on the bucket list. And we actually were in Alabama a couple months ago, where there had been some battles and Confederate soldiers had built a wall there, and it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was in Fort Payne.
Yeah, in Fort Payne, right outside of Fort Payne.
Did you happen to catch anything there?
Well, we was using a Necrophonics app, and I mean, I'm sure y'all know what the Necrophonics is, and the girl that was with us, Lori, she got on YouTube and was playing like gunfire and was shooting, and the Necrophonics app was coming back, shooting back at us. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had the gunshot. She pulled up like Civil War battle sounds and it was like echoing back. It was crazy.
Interesting. So what kind of equipment do you guys like to use whenever you go out? Do you film, or do you just do like EVPs, or?
Both. We have a lot of cameras, a lot of night vision cameras. We, of course, use digital recorders. We've got, I'm drawing a blank here, of course, K2 meters, REM pod. We've got the heat cameras,
cat balls,
Jimmy's favorite tool, cat balls.
the ones that light up when they get pushed or something.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of different trigger items.
Yes.
So,
out of all the electronic stuff that we use, I really like the FLIR camera myself. So you can see changes in heat, and mm-hmm. I think that's fairly important. I myself like old school tools, but I really like the way that the electronic stuff can really confirm things that I'm hearing or sensing, or information that I'm receiving through old school methods.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, when you was telling me, Gina, you played with a Ouija board when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still mess with those things?
Rarely. I think we had one. Jimmy has had one that was actually belonged to a serial killer out of New York, and Lori and I messed with it a little bit a few months ago. We don't use it a lot. We don't do things like that, especially on camera normally, because there is a lot of negative press with a Ouija board.
There's a lot of negative to it. I mean, a lot of people don't understand it. That's why.
Yeah.
But I believe Raven played with that one too a little bit too, didn't you, Raven?
I touched it for a few minutes and gave you my feedback on it. I didn't work the planchette.
The guy's name, he was from up in New York, and his name was Nathaniel White. And he kept on saying that stuff was telling him to commit murders. And then after he got put in jail, the Ouija board got passed down to me. And I had it here, and then I took it up to the shrine now.
Okay. No, I was just kind of curious, you know, because I actually have two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, one glows in the dark and the other one's just a standard board.
I had a standard one up until a couple of years ago. We moved and I kind of got rid of a whole lot of stuff, and so I hadn't used it in a while, so that went too. But there are some beautiful handmade ones out there. I kind of love
them. Oh yeah. Those type of objects they're making a comeback. They're, you know, people are starting to understand that these are
it's a all right,
he's showing off his wolf. Yeah, it's a tool for everybody to use, and
yeah,
you know, it is a way of communicating,
right?
But you also got to realize whenever you use it, you got to, when you open the portal, you actually have to close the portal as well.
Yes.
Because if you don't close that portal, then things have a tendency of coming through.
It's like me. I got some haunted items here at my house. I got dolls and different items that I collect here at the house. And I got one Ouija board right now that's put up. So I got one myself.
I'll tell you honestly, when it comes to dolls, I know a lot of people that the dolls really just creep them out. Me? They don't bother me.
Now, Sally, I got one. She's about 3 foot tall. When I first got her eyes was blue. And her eyes would change color from blue to white.
Oh, cool.
And she actually will have a teardrop come down her face and land on her chin every once in a while.
That's pretty cool, too.
Do you go up and touch the Annabelle doll, Mark?
I would literally give it a hug.
I got one identical to her.
Because I'm sorry, but it doesn't scare me. I've had too much stuff happen to me in the past. I am too jaded with everything.
Yeah, that's like when we went to Bobby Mackey's and Jeff, our other teammate, he dropped his flashlight in the portal of hell in there. Didn't scare me. I climbed down there and got it.
Yeah. Why not?
That's been our most, I posted that as a TikTok and it's got like 750,000 views. We weren't even thinking about it at the time. And I think the next app was running, so it sounded like damn Gollum from Lord of the Rings in there, my precious. But we were just laughing. Yeah, Jimmy's in the well, and but everybody just freaked out over it, and it was interesting.
Nah. No, like I said, I'm sure other people have had the same kind of situations where they've just had so much happen to them that they just feel jaded on it all. Very little actually even comes close to frightening me.
Now,
I've just seen too much.
Yes. The worst I've probably been was when we was up at Old College Hill, and most hospitals got like a cross in the floor. Mm-hmm. And we was walking and come to the cross spot in the hospital. When I did, the hat man was standing face to face to me. And usually when we see or hear stuff, we run towards you. But when he was face to face, I couldn't go nowhere, so I had to back up. And I mean, that was probably the only time really got me really good right there.
Interesting. So. Have you, when you go out and do your investigations, have you noticed that there's more interaction with the women or the men, or about the same, or any, or?
It's about the same. Some might want to communicate with the women more than they'll do the men.
It just depends, and we can kind of switch off to see who is getting a reaction. Mm-hmm. Because.
Yeah, I mean, Raven's real good at communicating with them. Gina's real good at communicating with them. And
children. Lori, yeah.
So, yeah, when children's around, usually the one that communicates with the kids is me. Because I know I got a real soft heart for a kid.
Or is it that you're just a big kid yourself?
Well,
yeah. Yep, I don't care how old I get, I'll never age in sight.
Most of you like Peter Pan, you're never going to grow up.
That's right. Like Peter Pan, I don't care how old I look on the outside, I'll never grow up on the inside.
And Raven, the last time we went down to Old South Pittsburgh, she got a lot of stuff down through there too, her and her husband, Ewald. And we was actually sitting in a hallway and was communicating with a lot of spirits. And she asked one what game it liked to play, and it said hide and seek. So.
And then we found out later from another team that goes there quite often that they literally play hide and seek there.
Yep.
So that other team is playing.
So the other team actually plays hide and seek with the spirit that's there.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great interaction too.
Yeah, they'll volunteer there, though a team, but they'll volunteer down at mm-hmm. Old South Pittsburgh too. So they'll in there a lot and they'll get to play games with them.
You know, we had the games thing too at Post Town Elementary. Do you remember Raven? We were upstairs and there was like knocking at the other end of the hallway, and we thought it was Jimmy and Jeff, and they were like two floors down on the other end.
Yeah, I could have sworn that was them, but then when we went looking for them, they were not there.
Yeah, and then they told us later that they do play that knock game. I remember The Conjuring, then. Where you are the clap game. It was clapping. We heard, I'm not clapping. Where you hide and clap.
Yes.
And yep. So that was kind of interesting. We had all that on video and live feed.
I think that's, we were singing cool. The If You're Happy and You Know It, Clap Your Hands song.
And something, we had a single clap on the other end, and we're like, oh no, that's got to be Jimmy and Jeff. They're down there messing with us. But
we went nowhere around.
No, we went looking for you.
So do you guys ever really play pranks on each other?
Every once in a while, try to new stuff. I mean, they got me good at
I guess, especially if you're in a, on an investigation and just nothing's happening and you're just sitting there, just kind of bored out of your mind.
Work them up, yeah.
Yeah.
Gina,
yeah, we've been known to.
You tell them what you and Lori done to me down there.
Okay, now we're getting there.
Old South Pittsburgh. Actually, we got the other guy that's a volunteer. We got him worse than we got you. But Lori had a mask, and it was one of those old-fashioned, kind of looks like a bird.
Okay.
Like the plague masks.
Yep. Yep, I know what you're talking about.
And so she had that. And I think, Jimmy, you even knew she had it. You saw it beforehand. But we had come around and everybody was kind of in one, the ER or clinic area. And so we came in there and they were all sitting and she kind of went in another room across the hallway. And so I just sat there with was videoing. And did she make she made a noise or something?
Yeah, she made like a thump on a wall.
And so, of course, Jimmy and the other guy go running to investigate to see what it is. And, I'm just kind of following along. And he came around the corner of the doorway, and she jumped out in that mask. So he swung, but he was stepping back at the same time. So he couldn't make contact.
I made contact just a little bit.
It's on our TikTok.
Okay. So you you've got to fight not the flight.
Well, I mean,
more of a fight response.
They kind of get you jumpy a little bit, I believe, because I'm usually the brave one. I'm usually the one climb down in the hole or whatever. Now they're trying to get under my skin, so I get jumpy a little bit.
Raven got you guys at Post Town too with that music box.
Which music box?
When Jeff about peed his pants.
Yeah, yeah. See, I mean, they play tricks on us all the time. We're going to have to start doing it back to them.
Yeah. So when you guys go out and do investigations, have you ever been to a cemetery?
Yes.
Quite a few. Yeah. Quite a few.
They're kind of fun.
They are. They are very interesting. So we were at one in Alabama that was on the family's property, and we have some really good footage from that.
We actually got an orb in the daytime coming down from the top, and you can see it. And I mean, I'm kind of iffy on orbs, but this right here, yeah. This come out so good, and you can see it coming from the top of the camera down and into the ground.
Pretty cool.
I was kind of iffy on orbs too until the one experience we had, or I had with them, and it was at a private residence, actually the first private residence we ever did, and we were in, what was that, like a little nook or something?
It was a little nook in the basement. It was like a little storage port. And I actually could sense the energy up in there, and I started provoking. That's one of my problems when I do investigations. I actually provoke.
But I was like in that little nook. I was in that little nook, and then I was putting up like a recorder, voice recorder, that I thought was on. I swear it was turned on before I put it there, right? And they were saying something about, I think Tanya had the camera, and she said something about the orb.
She had, she had the camera. I think I had the thermal.
And then they were going through my legs. So I didn't think nothing of it. And then here it is, I knew because there was a lot of stairs in the place, I suffer from some side effects of cancer, going through some pretty rough chemotherapy and full body eradication and stuff. So anyway, I knew with all the stairs, there was going to be, you know, a couple of days of recouping for me because my legs can't take much walking.
Yeah.
I was in pain, like something was jabbing a knife into my right knee for like over 2 weeks. And we were talking about it, and that's about where the orb was going in and out, passing through my right knee.
Yep. You see it on the camera, actually.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy stuff. I mean, and yeah, even though people won't never really understand all paranormal. I don't care how long you've been doing it. Some people think they're the god of paranormal, think they'll know everything. I call BS on that because you ain't going to never get the true answer out of paranormal.
No, we may not get the true answer of Bigfoot before we pass away, you know. I mean, there's so many theories surrounding Bigfoot, but nobody can prove any single theory right yet.
Yeah.
Very true.
You know, and that goes about everything out there right now.
Yeah, we had experience here at my house. We do a lot of events with different people, like the moonshiners and stuff. And after these events, a lot of them comes over here at my house. So Jessie, her name's Jessie. She's Daisy Girl 101. She kind of looks like Daisy Duke in a way, and she hangs out with Richard Petty all the time. She had her camera sitting on my back porch out here on the table, and it was completely off. The screen was completely black, and it come on and took a picture. Come right on and took a picture.
Wow.
What was on the picture?
I don't know. She ain't never sent me the picture, but Tracy was here. And I mean, a bunch of people seen it coming on and taking a picture, and it kind of freaked everybody out because I got all these items here at my house.
I'll mention, congratulations, y'all. I noticed earlier, just telling him about it, showed him a cool graphic. See if I can share this graphic.
See if you bring it up.
I'm going to try. I got it.
Oh.
So you guys are going to start making moonshine.
That's going to be our label right there. And actually,
cool label. That is cool as hell. I really like that.
Actually, Raven, her husband, is a moonshiner that's actually been on TV, and he's got his own moonshine label too.
Cool.
So,
yeah, Raven is the one behind the flavors, though. She's incredible.
Well, thank you.
Could it be like a blackberry flavor? Is that correct?
This right here actually going to be blackberry.
Cool.
And I actually got, the second jar of it right here. But this one don't have the label on it yet because it's still got to get little things worked out. But that's the second jar.
We have sampled. It is good.
Yes. And Raven, she's got any kind that you imagine, and it's amazing too.
Cool. So, where can a person pick some of this up?
Tennessee, Flat Rock. I don't know. Flat Rock Distillery ships up there in your all's area.
Flat Rock's out of Ohio. They're trying to get, there's a lot of different states that they are trying to get to be in. So I think we've got North Carolina, Ohio, obviously, California, Nevada, Florida. And there's probably more, but all that paperwork, all that red tape takes a really long time. So one at a time.
Doesn't like a lot of the competition because they've got all those breweries in Milwaukee alone, and then you go over to La Crosse. There's a few over there.
Well, you're talking breweries, Joe.
Yeah, but
microbrews. They've got moonshine.
Joe's
moonshine is good stuff.
Yeah, Joe's mic is kind of low on me. I mean, I'm having a hard time hearing Joe. I hear everybody good, but Joe.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Yeah, because he's got to get that mic up closer, and he doesn't have it there.
Yeah, he's like me. Get like
I get, we got to do something about his mic.
I get sitting back too far.
But now, yeah, when I was doing podcasts a lot, I got one of them ball mics, and I really liked it. I ain't got it hooked up right now, but that's what I usually use all the time, was one of them little round ball ones.
Is that the one they call the ice or something like that?
Well, they've got the ice in it too, yes, and it picks up really good.
Yeah, I like this one. This one's a nice little boom mic that I got hooked to my desk.
But now, you talked about us. Let us ask you a few questions, if you don't care.
No, sure. Go ahead.
What's one of the most interesting things y'all had done to y'all, happened to y'all?
As a team or as solo?
Well, this, I guess, each one of you, yeah.
Well, for me, because like I said, I've experienced way too much to really be frightened about anything anymore. When I was younger, in my early 20s, I was dating a woman that was she was a Hispanic woman. She was an actual witch. She messed with both the dark and the white parts of the magic. But her and I got into an argument, and we were staying at my parents' place, and I decided, to cool down, and I didn't want to keep, just didn't want to keep arguing with her. So I just got up and walked out of the room, went out on the front porch and sat down. It was a nice, cool summer night. Now, at the time, my brother has this trailer house that sits next to my parents' house. And he's got this tree in the front. It's a pine tree, and that sucker is like 14 feet tall. It's huge, right? And I'm sitting there just stewing, just mulling through what was going on, why we were arguing, all this. And out of the corner of my eye, movement. And I glance over, and when I do, out of the ground comes this just enormous dark shadow, and it covers the entire tree. And I was like, I kind of glanced, and I'm like, okay. I didn't freak, didn't panic. I just stood up, turned, went inside, closed the door, locked it, went and laid down on the bed.
Because they went and said, "Baby, I'm sorry."
No. She looks at me. She goes, "What's wrong?" I said, "Nothing."
So, was that her doing, or?
No, she never took credit for it. But it was very interesting. I will say,
I wouldn't have took credit for it either. I'd be like, "You pay for this."
So yeah, it was pretty freaky, but again, like I said, too much stuff that I have seen over the years to really be afraid of things. Yep. I mean, I've even seen UFOs.
I don't like UFOs.
I just haven't caught them on video or camera yet.
Yes, I got a picture. One, I have to get with you and send it to you and let you see it.
Actually, I might have one that I actually did. It was kind of weird. It was I was coming home from work, and I lived in a different place than here. I was further closer to Madison, but the clouds were kind of weird. There was really nice looking white clouds, and then right in front of this white cloud, over the almost the entire thing, was this black cloud, like storm cloud, imposed on it. And I thought it looked really cool because the light was hitting it just right. The sun was hitting it just right. I went to take, I finally get to a spot where I pull over. I got my camera. It was one of those Galaxy S5s. And I'm getting it ready to take a picture. And as I'm bringing it up to take that picture, the cloud, the black cloud, just kind of like dissipates down into this like look really small, like
black dot thing on the other cloud. And I still snapped a shot of it. But when the camera was doing its focus thing, you know how they got that red square?
Yes.
That red square kept trying to focus on that one spot. So when I bring it up and I can enlarge it, the more I enlarge, the stranger it gets, because it's just, it looks like there is something there. And when I do show the picture to people, I don't say what I see. I ask them what they're seeing when they look at it.
Yes. See if they'll get the same result as what you.
Yeah. It's just, I thought it looked really cool because the white cloud was a lot bigger than the black cloud. And the black cloud looked like a literal storm cloud, like a lightning storm cloud. And I wanted to get that picture, but the picture I got was a little different. Okay, Joe, your turn.
What was the question?
I got too many stories, man.
What was the question? You took so long. I forgot.
What's the strangest thing ever happened to you?
The strangest thing? I don't know.
Probably meeting me.
It ranks up there somewhere. No, I can't say the strangest thing, but I'll tell you, I had one of the most eye-opening experiences a person could have. All right, that actually opened my mind to believe that anything's possible. Okay, yes. And that was December 4th, 1995. I was rushed to the hospital and diagnosed with AML leukemia. I was told I wasn't going to live to see Christmas that year. I actually had an out-of-body experience because I flatlined 5 or 6 different times for quite a bit, you know. And I saw my mom out there in the waiting room, and I was like floating above. I could see them using the paddles. I could hear my brother talking. I could hear my dad talking. My stepfather was there talking. But my mom was out there freaking out in the waiting room just outside the doors. And they had to tend to her because she had an attack. So she had a heart problem. So it started racing real bad, and they had to calm her down and sedate her a bit. And I remember all of that when I came, you know, when they brought me back each time, I would see stuff, you know, and it was a very, I didn't believe that anything like that's possible, but you know, it is, because I was told a lot of this, and I was finishing what they were trying to tell me, what they were saying to me while I was supposedly dead, you know. You know, and I said, oh, I know what you said. I heard it all, you know.
Wow. That's an incredible experience.
Yeah. That was, you know, that wasn't the worst thing I've survived, but it was the most challenging out of everything that I've survived.
Have you found that since that experience that you perceive things around you differently? More open as far as to spirit communication, or
he's more sensitive now.
More sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah, that fits right along with my theory.
I have a lot of things that's kind of strange to me happen, I guess, a lot stronger and a lot more often. Like, for example, I'd be sitting there and I used to just get a bad feeling, and I'd say something bad's going to happen. And then the next thing you know, 15, 20 minutes, maybe a day or two later, I get a phone call, you know, and somebody's gone, passed away, or in the hospital or something. Now I can narrow that down to a few people, and I haven't been wrong yet.
Wow.
When that happens.
Yeah, that's enough to drive a person nuts.
And then I have these very... how people call it dreams, where you can remember every single word, every single detail of it. But I'm talking with people that have passed away as if they're right there with me right now, you know. And you don't really remember your dreams, but I remember every single detail of these when they happen.
And see around here, around this area where we're from, if you tell people that back 10 years ago, they would swear up and down you was doing witchcraft. On drugs. But now, because we live in a Bible Belt place around here, but
right now, it's
starting to come around more and more around this area. And a lot more people is opening up that you never think that would open up to you.
I believed it was all like, you know, fantasy Hollywood stuff, you know, that's, you know, and, you know, didn't believe in Bigfoot and all of this stuff. But when you go through something like that and you realize that it really happened, you tend to start opening your mind and opening your eyes to a lot more.
You know? Yes.
And now I sit there and I say, you know, anything's possible. You know, all these people about Bigfoot, well, that's a theory. They're theories. Someday, maybe in my lifetime, if I'm lucky, those theories or one of those theories will be proven true. But until then, they're all theories, and I still want answers. You know, I'm going to still go out and look. It's not going to stop me.
No.
But, you know,
Raven's husband actually got a picture out in California of a Bigfoot's foot print.
Right.
And so he's got it on his cell phone. He goes out and fight the wildfires out in California, and they'll walk by a place and turn around 15 minutes later, he'd come back and that footprint was there.
So is he a smoke jumper?
Yep.
No, he's not a smoke jumper. I wish he was. I mean, that would be a brag, but no, he's just a regular wildland firefighter. He's an engine boss.
Okay.
That's still good, though.
He still does good. That's still.
We're still proud of him. Yeah.
Yes.
Now you gotta remember though. See, out when he was out there in California, California is where the Patterson's film was at.
Mm-hmm.
And that I believe is the most. Don't know what that was. No, that I believe is the most authentic film that was ever taken.
I believe it too.
Because when you look at that, when you watch that, you can literally see the muscles moving under the hair. And the year that was done, the technologies weren't there for a suit to where you'd be able to, a skin tight suit to where you'd be able to see that like that.
True.
I mean, look at how Hollywood was portraying the monkey people in the Planet of the Apes at that time. That was right around the same time.
Those costumes suck.
And and Hollywood's got a lot of money. So yeah, those particular costumes sucked.
The ones today are still, you know, you can tell they're costumes.
Is some, yes.
Look at the newer Planet of the Apes.
But that particular film literally looked like a female that was just hair from the top to the bottom and completely naked underneath. And you could literally see the muscles moving in the legs and the arms, and you know, you could see the muscles themselves moving. I'm sorry, if that was a suit, I don't believe it would have ever been able to be seen like that.
Now, see, here's the one thing that somebody did say, and I just remembered this. Somebody did say that they said this to try to debunk it, that they paid somebody to have all that hair glued onto them. And then, you know, the skin was painted and then so that it all blend in just right. And see, I don't buy that either because that'd be a pretty, even back in 67, you'd think that'd be a pretty tedious process and probably an expensive one too.
Not only that, it was middle of summer.
Not meaning to interrupt y'all, but y'all seeing his face changing.
Joe?
Yeah.
That's because he's got the green screen going, and every time he leans forward, it bleeds through.
I was like, man, I'm freaking out here.
He's not a real studio, so I don't have the proper lighting, but I like to have fun and do things like
that. Yeah, I took my green screen down.
There.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I'm going to have to start using my other computer so I can see better.
Yeah, I have to have fun. I have to have fun now and then because I was taking my mom shopping one day and she just out of the blue looked over and said, you know, you kind of look like Charles Manson. And it's like, yeah, thanks a lot, Mom.
That was awesome.
So what's next on your agenda?
Ooh.
Besides doing up the moonshine.
We're just
what is the next thing we have scheduled.
We actually have a residential thing scheduled Friday evening. We've been in there before to her house about a year ago, and she's had a lot of activity and actually did some audio recordings of herself sleeping, those apps that you can do because she does have sleep apnea. And I've kept in touch with her over the last year. So she sent Jimmy and I the recordings a couple weeks ago and said, what do you guys make of this? And you hear just, you know, normal sound and then something says, I'm going to kill you. And a creepy deep voice, and I was like, "Yeah, that means we're coming back." So we're gonna
do an investigation while we was up there. We just didn't walk through the house the last time we was, so this time we need to hit it and hit it hard.
Yeah. What kind of research have you done for the property and the house itself?
I had spoken to some people here locally. It's in a part of town that used to be really bad. We know that there was a fire in the house before. Okay. There have been people that were killed, I know, in the house next door.
Okay.
So she's had a lot of strange things in that area. And a lot. So the house is a gorgeous, this cute little house, and the area around her, she's got some good neighbors now, but there's others that are not so good. So they've had some pretty bad crime and stuff in that area in the past.
Okay.
So we'll see. She's been there, I guess, a couple of years. And
so about how old is the house?
I want to say it was built in the 40s, maybe.
Okay.
I'll have to go back.
Gina likes to do the research of the stuff. I like going in there blindsided.
Well, I was just kind of wondering because also, have you tried to do any finding out of what was there on the property previously and what the area held during like the time of the Civil War and stuff like that? Because a lot of times the property itself, the land itself is what holds the energies that cause a lot of the hauntings. And then again, you have the homes and objects in the homes that can also hold the energies and stuff. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. She actually had a cabinet there the last time too, that had some energy. And we actually, while we were there in different rooms, that cabinet was shaking.
Like shaking or vibrating?
Like shaking and would hit the wall shaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then there's something there about that cabinet then.
That's what we've all been telling her. She bought it off of a black witch, and that trying to help her with doing. I don't know what all she's helping her with, but she actually got the cabinet from a black witch. And I told her that cabinet got a lot of stuff attached to it.
A lot of negativity.
Yes. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. A lot of it's coming from that cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we just go up there and try Friday and see what we can get.
Did you try doing any saging?
She has. I don't exactly know what all she done up there. I believe she used black salt, sage, and
sea salt's one of the better ones to use whenever you're doing any of the rituals and stuff, because it with sea salt, and it's got to be authentic sea salt because it's connected to the ocean. Yep. And you gotta think, man, the ocean, this planet is 70% ocean. Yes. So and the ocean itself with the tides and the currents and everything, it's powerful. There's a lot of energy there. So when you can get your true sea salt and use that in any of your rituals, that has a tendency of helping a lot too.
Yes.
Yeah, she's pretty, I mean, she's a grounded girl and she's not really afraid. She said, I figure if it was going to hurt me, it would have by now. But you know, there are times there's things that happen that she'll kind of unnerve her a little bit. But
having a recording, like you were saying, with a deep, gruffy voice saying, I'm going to kill you. That's just a little.
That'll mess
up. Yeah, that's kind of unnerving for pretty much anybody.
I don't know if you can hear it, but I'm going to try to pull it up here and see if I can play it.
Go ahead.
Let's see. Let me find it here. Could you hear it?
I could hear it. It actually sounded like a female. It actually sounded like a female. It kind of sounds like a female.
It sounded like it said, I will kill you.
Nope, said I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna kill you. Yeah, at the very end.
That's what I heard when I heard it from there. It sounded like it said, I'm gonna kill you. And it sounded like a female whispering.
Yep. So that's kind of freaking her out right there.
Yeah, she had another audio too that had, it sounded like things were falling and clamoring all around her. And I said, what was that? And she said, I have no idea. She said, nothing is out of place, but you just hear like stuff falling and hitting the floor or table. And she has no clue what it was. Wow. So we're going to go pay her a visit Friday.
Yeah. She got a basement or an attic?
She's got an attic. And the last time we was up in the attic, we actually got some good pictures of the attic.
Okay.
And we got a picture of a paint. Yeah, we got a picture of a paint can that got a face on a paint can.
There was actually the fire was in the attic, and supposedly a young girl was killed up there. And so it's pretty wild. It's a pretty interesting place. I'm not sure. She has a friend that has a little girl who is actually extremely sensitive. And she had said before that there was a little girl in the house. And when she was shown the pictures that we took in the attic, and she said, well, that's her. That's so it was pretty, got the hair on my arm standing up. It's pretty cool.
That's cool. That's really cool. And definitely my suggestion too is have someone work with that young lady to make sure she hones that ability, because that's something that not a lot of people have.
Yes. And see, that's me. When I was growing up, I was always embarrassed to tell people I had that ability, because, like I said,
don't be embarrassed, man. That's the whole thing. And then, I mean, I understand, Jimmy. I understand that what you're talking about when you were growing up and having that kind of, you know, having that situation. You grew up in a highly religious family. Guess what? I did too.
Yep.
My parents, we were Pentecost. They would take me to Sunday service every freaking Sunday. I just kind of got tired of it. When I got older, I went my own way with it, because I just, you know, I have my own beliefs. I have my own beliefs.
Not me. I can't even walk into a church.
My youngest daughter is very sensitive, but she won't tell nobody.
You believe in spontaneous combustion.
Gina, when she first met me, I walked in her house and told her exactly what happened in her house. And she was trying to, more or less, trying to dislike all this guy right here that's making this shit up. And I kind of freaked Gina out.
I was testing you. We were part of another team, and I had just bought this house. There had been two deaths within the year in this house prior to us buying it. And I knew the details. I mean, I looked at the house a couple of days after the last woman died. Yeah, I'm that person. So I knew what had happened exactly. And I had told them there'd been a couple of deaths in the house, but I didn't go into any details or anything. So they were over for a cookout, and I said, so just walk through, Jimmy, and tell me what you feel. So he went straight back to the master bedroom, and it's set up pretty much exactly how her room was set up. And he said, who sleeps here? I said, well, I do. That's my side. Why? And he said, no, who slept here before? And I said, well, this is where they found her, unresponsive. And he said, okay. And then he moved down to the foot of the bed to the floor. And he said, and she's laying right here. I see her head here and her feet here. And I said, that's where he pulled her off the bed to do CPR, because there had actually been a spot on the carpet and everything. Mm-hmm. And he was dead on. I was like, okay.
And Gina was like, that's enough.
I love it.
And
absolutely love it.
That used a lot of my energy to do that too. And usually after I do it, Gina can tell you, and my fiance can tell you, it takes me a week to recover.
Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pulling. And I notice a lot of people, when they go do the investigation, they'll be like, well, you can use the energy outlet, this equipment. I let them use the energy out of me. So, yeah, it does wear me out. Take me a little while to get my energy built back up. But I feel like I need to let them use my energy instead of some battery energy.
Right. The communication is, the connection is better for you.
And a lot of people, I don't have nothing bad to say about people praying before they'll go in, but I do not want to pray before I go in, because that's like putting a shield over me.
Yeah.
And if you pray before you go in, that's just like kind of having a blocker on you. And I want to go in to be able to see and feel the stuff I want to see and feel.
Mm-hmm. So, no, but I get it.
But if people wants to pray before they go in, I mean, I stand there and pray with them. But just leave me out of the circle. I mean, but if they want me to pray, I do it with them. But as far as bringing me into it, no, I want to be open when I go in.
Yep.
As long as you leave it there.
Well, I can bring them home with me.
Not according to Kathy.
Yeah, Mark looked like he's got some stuff around there. Might come on with him too.
Yeah, there's been a few. There have been a few that have followed me.
Now, another thing, I mean, y'all do this. We do it. Some nights, a lot of new teams get thinking it's fun. Yeah, it is fun, but you spend a lot of time doing this. Every house you go to, every place you go to, I mean, somebody might say it's haunted, but you might go sit there for 10 hours not getting nothing.
Yep.
They're talking to yourself.
Yep. And, I mean, I've seen teams that go every place they go, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, really?
So, I mean, you can go to places. And think you see something, and then you sit there and you look at it when you get it home, and you go, "Oh no, wait, that's just the way the sun was coming through." So then you got
as a shadow off my camera where I was standing in the window or something. Yeah,
right. So
that's one of the things.
You know, when we put footage up there, because there is footage up on our YouTube channel of all the investigations we've done, except for the last few, because we're trying to edit those differently. But they've only been edited to the point where I put in like a little bit of an intro screen, and then I've got credits in the back, and that's it. All that stuff in between, that's all raw footage. So what we saw, what we heard, it's exactly what you see in here. You know,
that's why we try to do our
nine times out of ten. Yeah. We didn't really see much of anything out of the ordinary on some of those, you know. And we've gone back to some of these, a couple of these locations.
Well, one of them that we're trying to put together as a documentary is, we call it the Beast of Bray Road.
Yep.
Joe and I finally got to do an overnight out there, and we had another investigator come up and meet us up there and do an investigation with us. And we have distinct audio from my cameras. I had two cameras on me and an audio recorder at the time, and audio from their cameras with him and Dale standing together, and Dale was using his thermal camera. And while they were standing there looking into the cornfield using that, I decided I'm going to go walking down the trail that goes down to the backside where there's like a swampy area.
Yeah, you were walking down the hayfield part of it.
Yeah, I was walking on the drive between the hayfield and the path between the cornfield and the hayfield.
Right.
And we were out of earshot of each other. They couldn't hear me. I couldn't hear them. But you've got them talking about a bipedal entity they've seen in the cornfield on the camera, on the IR or the FLIR. And then you hear them on their audio, you hear them talk about how they lost sight of it.
Yeah, and then we said we think it followed you through the corner.
Yep. And then on my audio, you can hear me talking to it.
Oh, that's wild.
Because I knew it was following me. I knew something was following me in the cornfield.
Oh.
And I'm talking to it and saying, "Hey, you know, come out here, talk to me, you know," stuff like that. Awesome. I was kind of calling it out.
This piece of land has kind of been called this piece of land has been kind of dubbed the Skinwalker Ranch of Wisconsin, because when we got there, all right, when we first went out to start investigating the Beast of Bray Road, this story dates back to the 30s, the early 30s. The earliest documented story of this is like 1936 or something, I think it was. Anyway, we drove down Bray Road at night. That was the first thing we did, first time. That was our first investigation. We didn't see much. It was kind of cool. We put the video out there because it was storming that night, if I remember correctly.
Nope. It wasn't storming. It was a little bit of clouds, and the moon was out, but it was still very dark.
We got one when we were going down there.
Paradise Road.
Paradise Road? Okay, so I got my road confused. But anyway, we were going down Bray Road. We didn't really see nothing, but, you know, we did get a good feel for how the mind could play tricks with somebody. Because it's about a 2-mile stretch of country road, no street lights, and the lights that were attached to the houses, the farmhouses that were along there and spread very far apart, didn't do nothing to help. I mean, you'd be lucky if you got a full moon that night on a clear night. Because if you had a full moon on a clear night, you'd get a little bit more than just your headlights. You know, so if you saw like a wolf or a coyote, which are pretty common in Wisconsin, all right, coyote more than wolves, sitting there eating roadkill like a deer, pretty common thing to see in Wisconsin as well. And they kind of do that, you know, kind of hench up to look when the headlights hit, you know. The mind can play tricks to make that think that's some kind of beast and it starts to stand on its hind legs, you know. I've seen my dog. I've got a dog. It's the closest thing you get to a wolf legally. It's a Siberian Husky, purebred Siberian Husky. That's what she was, that white dog. Okay. And she does that. She kind of stretches out. She kind of hunches back, you know, arches her back. And if somebody did, you know, you saw that on a dark road, mine can play tricks on you. But when we
white dogs on a dark road, bring back any memories, Jimmy?
Yeah.
But when we got to this, farmland, though, we saw pictures. We heard stories from the property owner, and we saw pictures from his trail cams, and we saw the casts of some of the tracks that he found around the property, and it was a lot more than we bargained for.
Wow.
There's a lot there.
There's a lot more there than just the Beast of Bray Road going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a friend, I believe, ain't that where Trey lives up there in that area?
Trey's in Wisconsin, yes.
Yeah. He does our edited on our videos and stuff for us, too. Very good boy.
Ask him about the Beast of Bray Road. I bet you he'll know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, pretty famous here. It's like the Michigan Dog Man, if you've heard of that one. Mm-hmm. That's the other one.
We was actually down in Fort Payne, Alabama, and we got some noise. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Bigfoot, Swamp. I can't tell you what it was, but at first it sounded like an owl, but an owl don't come closer to you. And this thing was coming closer and closer and closer to us and getting louder and louder. And
right outside of a huge cave, we're kind of down below it, and that's where the sighting had been of a man, an entity of some sort. And the first time it made the noise, we didn't hear it. We caught it on the audio on our cameras, but we didn't hear it. And then you hear it again, and everybody just stops, and because Jimmy was calling out to something that we'd heard over the spirit box earlier, and every time it called, it was closer and closer.
And Jeff and them was like, it's time to get out of here, and I was like, man, this is getting good.
So Jimmy shot it.
I shot up in the air, and we didn't know if it was a bunch of kids might have been up there in the cave or whatever, and I just got my axe, a homeowner, if I could shoot up in the air, and she said yeah. And I mean, we own 700 acres here.
So 300.
you don't know who's going to be around us or what we're going into.
Right.
So,
yeah, you got to be careful. That's
oh, yeah.
We try to stress and we tell people, and we've said that on our show, you know, if you're going to start going out paranormal investigating places, you be careful. Be aware of your surroundings. You know, do a little research into the animals that are native to the area, so you know what you might run into.
Yep. You know.
The white dog thing was actually something that happened to us coming out of a piece of property that's known, it was known as No Man's Land in the 1920s, where we actually had the lady that was calling help from all different directions. Same night, like 2 or 3 in the morning, heading back out of the woods on this little dirt road. Wind is down, it's summer, and you see a flash beside the car, and there's this huge white dog right up in Jimmy's window going, rrr, rrr, rrr. I peed.
We was in No Man's Land, and I mean, you weren't expecting the dog to come out. I mean, I don't know if it was a ghost dog or somebody else's dog.
It's a dog.
Well, I ain't seen the dog no more.
Wow.
That's one thing.
It was funny after it wasn't.
Normal animals and stuff, they won't bother me because I got a natural gift with animals and cats and dogs and stuff. So I've got this natural gift, you know. I went over to my cousin's once. They had these two cats. They hate everybody but one or two people in the house. First time I was over there, one of the cats jumped up into my arms. And then they all went like freaking out. What the fuck? That cat hates everybody. Only two can pick up that cat. I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
Just a gift.
All right. We've run over our hour and I still need to eat.
Yep. But it was very nice y'all having us on here. Appreciate
well, thank you. On. Thank you for coming on. It was a good talk with you. And definitely, if you want to come back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this hour felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah, once you get going, man, it flies by pretty quick.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry that Raymond kept popping in and out. I don't know what was up with that.
The COVID thing kind of was like a blessing in disguise for us. Because of my compromised immune system, we decided we weren't going to go out and do any investigations, you know. So StreamYard, of course, came out, and all these other ones came out. So we tested this out, and we said, okay, let's do this, and we can have guests from anywhere around the world.
Yes.
And exactly. It's been a great thing. Kind of a blessing in disguise ever since. We bring guests on from the paranormal field and let them promote themselves, talk about what they do, show their websites, you know, hear their stories, because, you know, we mostly know about Wisconsin, but when you go out of Wisconsin a little bit on some of these places, we haven't been there yet.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot more to do. We got actually Gina supposed to be talking to Chris, he played cousin Jed on the Dukes of Hazzard. He's a movie producer, and we got some stuff we gonna be working with him on. And we got a bunch of other people we trying to work on different movies and TV shows and stuff with different people right now. So
we're actually going to try to make it up to Maine too, hopefully in the spring for an investigation up there.
Yes. So
cool.
We go anywhere and do a lot of stuff with the moonshiners, and you never know who you see us around.
Right.
I'll still have to figure out where I can find some of that shine at, man.
Okay. We'll have to head up your way and bring you some.
That'd be great. But I can kind of hold my liquor.
Well, we got a new saying, because like I said, we do all these events, and after the events, a lot of people comes over our house here, and if you go look on my Facebook page, there's a lot of people don't make it out of here. Don't end up on the couch and the floor. So we sit up in Jimmy.
So basically you're telling me if we was to come down for a visit and we come to your place, bring a damn tent.
No, just bring you an extra blanket because I ain't going to sleep outside.
What's wrong with sleeping outside?
Well, you can, but there's a lot of bears and coyotes down in my neck of the woods.
Bears and coyotes don't scare me. I used to chase bears out of encampments just because that was my job. I'm being serious. I worked at a lodge in California, and I used to chase brown and black bears out of the encampment.
All I had to do was look at them. They looked and they
chased one up a tree, and boy, he stayed there the entire night.
But yeah, y'all welcome here in Tennessee anytime. Heck, we find an investigation to do, whatever.
Oh, that'd be awesome. All right, guys.
There's only one thing I really want to do in Tennessee, and that's go to Graceland before they close that fucker down.
That's about 8 hours from us.
Oh. Yeah, they're on the other side of the state there, Joe.
Yeah, we up next to Bristol, Tennessee.
Oh, that's where Rusty's favorite, one of Rusty Wallace's favorite racetracks.
Yep,
Bristol.
I was a big Rusty Wallace fan. I don't watch NASCAR since he's retired, so.
Yep, that was my mama's driver. Mine was Earnhardt.
I like him, too.
So, right. Y'all take care.
And, all right.
Thank you all for bringing us on here.
And yeah, thanks for coming on. It's good meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Appreciate it.
You're definitely welcome to come back.
All right. Thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot. Night. Yeah, you guys have a good night.
And then Friday we're going to have Jay Hill from Studio 6 Paranormal Podcast. He'll be out this Friday. That's going to be a special time. We'll be an hour later than normal. And then the following Tuesday, we will have Janet Ramsey and crew. That'll be a fun one.
Yep.
So,
looking forward to that one, Janet, if you're still watching.
Stay safe and remember, anything's possible.